who hath despised the day of small things? Zechariah 4:10. Today we're going to consider the tremendous importance and influence of small things. Let us first trace back to the cause of all human misery. It all started with such a small thing, a single forbidden fruit, a thing you could hold in one hand and scarcely feel the weight of it. What a small thing that was. There were literally tons of other fruits. There were thousands of varieties of fruit-bearing trees in Eden. Genesis 1:29 tells us how much fruit God had made available in that beautiful garden. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." This means that every tree in the world bearing wholesome fruit was represented there in Eden. What a wide variety of choice Adam had. If he wanted to, he could eat a different kind of delicious fruit at every meal for a whole year and not have to eat the same fruit twice. So it was indeed a small thing that the fruit of just one tree was prohibited. Thus we read in Genesis 2:15-17. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Yes, although the forbidden fruit was such a small thing, weighing only a few ounces, the penalty for disobedience in this matter was enormous and frightful. Its effects filled the whole earth. Just for eating that small fruit, 6,000 years of sickness, sorrow, and pain, of viciousness, violence, and cruelty, of ugliness, degradation, and depravity, of decrepitude and old age, and finally the supreme penalty of death. And all this for billions of human beings. That one small thing caused the glorious race of beings designed to be the kings of earth, created in the image of God, with beauty and dignity only a little lower than the angels, with a magnificent organism designed to live forever in health and happiness, to be stricken down in death like a beast after only a few brief years of miserable life. The earth, too, instead of being made a paradise, was polluted and converted into one vast graveyard. The forbidden fruit, a small thing? Let us digress here a little. Although it certainly was not true in the case of Adam, it seems to be a trait of the fallen human nature to especially desire forbidden things. There seems to be a perverse fascination for things forbidden. I remember back on the farm, we had an old cow who always got caught in the barbed wire fence. She was always trying to reach over and nibble the grass in the next field. It was exactly the same kind of grass, in exactly the same condition. It must have tasted exactly the same, but it seemed more desirable than what she had in her own field. Why? Because it was fenced off from her. It was forbidden. Along the same line, former President Herbert Hoover told how he once went fishing but had no luck. On the way home, he met a small boy carrying a fine catch of speckled trout. "Where did you get them?" he asked. "I found the perfect spot," replied the boy. "Just walk down that lane marked private property, no admittance, till you come to a sign saying trespassers will be prosecuted. Just beyond is a stream marked no fishing allowed. That's the place." And Mark Twain, somewhat irreverently and quite inaccurately, ascribed this trait also to Adam. He wrote, Adam was but human. This explains it all. He did not want the apple for the apple's sake. He wanted it because it was forbidden. The mistake was in not forbidding the serpent. Then he would have eaten the serpent. If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. This fallen human trait is fostered by Satan to draw men away from the commandments of God, to cause them to rebel and to go exactly in the opposite direction to God's expressed will. This perverse trait is so evident today. It seems to have come to the fore. It is the cause of all the civil disobedience and disorder we see about us. Laws enacted for the common good and which have been on the books for centuries are now challenged and exactly opposite course is taken. Open anarchy is the result. It is particularly evident among the young. It seems to be a kind of sickness. It has come to such a pass that parents are afraid to lay down prohibitions to their children for fear it will prompt the doing of the very thing prohibited. Indeed, this disobedience to parents is one of the signs of the times given in 2 Timothy 3:2. We now return to our subject of small things. The great and almighty God, ruler of heaven and earth, respects small things. He loves and honors small people, those who are small in their own eyes. He tells us this in Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Also in Isaiah 66:1-2 we read, Thus saith the Lord, The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Moffat renders the last part thus, What I care for are humble, broken creatures who stand in awe of all I say. Do you fit that description? If you do, the Lord cares for you above all others. It is to such who feel small and childlike that the Lord reveals himself and his truth, ignoring those who are great and wise in their own conceit. Thus we read in Luke 10:21, In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. This favoring of the small and humble is a fixed principle with God. It was demonstrated at the birth of Jesus. The glorious announcement of Luke 2:10-11, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, was not made to the wise and prudent leaders of Israel, the high priest, the scribes and Pharisees, they who sat in Moses' seat. They were too wise and too prudent. They would have been skeptical of his word. No, the most important announcement in history was made to poor and humble shepherds who literally trembled at his word and were sore afraid.